May the Lord help us to commence our worship this morning with hymn number 1034. 1034. Jesus, my soul's athirst for thee. Absent from thee, I cannot rest. Come now, reveal thyself to me. I cannot leave thy throne unblessed. Hymn 1034.
Let us read together from God's holy word this morning two psalms, Psalm 51 and Psalm 88. Let us turn to the book of Psalms, and firstly we'll read Psalm 51. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. And now we'll turn to Psalm 88. A song or psalm for the sons of Korah, to the chief musician upon Mahalath-Lianoth, Maskil of Heman the Ezrahi. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more. And they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee, Selah? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee, or go before thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. We'll leave the reading of God's word there, and may we each now be helped to rightly pray. Oh, most holy, almighty, and merciful Lord God, we come before thee this morning in prayer, and may we do so with that true thankfulness in our hearts, that whatever our state or case may be this morning, we can lay our needs before thee in prayer. And as we do so this morning, may they be from the heart. May there be that which is done today, which is acceptable in thy sight. For left to ourselves, we will offer up those sacrifices, as it were, which will be an abomination in thy sight, if our hearts are not right. So we pray that this morning and throughout this day, on thy day, we may indeed be true worshippers of thee. Lord, we have been favoured to see another Lord's Day upon this earth. We truly thank thee that we can come and gather together this morning. We have each been brought here, whether the journey be long or short. And may we marvel at the way thou dost work in our lives. And at this appointed time, on this thy day, we are gathered together to worship thee. But may there be that true togetherness. May there be that true communal worship. May there be many whose eyes are drawn, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank thee, Lord, that we have thy word before us this morning. But may it not just be words on a page. May it be a living word. May it be a life-changing word. May it be whatever is needed for those here today. For Lord, as we come, thou knowest how everyone has come today. Whether they are regularly attending here, or whether they have only been here for a while, or for the first time, we are each here today, and may we prove that thou art a sovereign God, ordering all events. But whatever our age, whatever our condition, whatever our case this morning, we all have one thing in common. We are sinners before a holy God. Lord, we need that convicting work of thy Holy Spirit so that we truly understand that, Lord. We truly understand the need of thy mercy. We truly understand, Lord, the cost of the shed blood upon Calvary, so that we truly mourn over sin and we truly praise thee for thy love. So, Lord, may it be so, that today the work of the Spirit may be known, not only in that convicting work, but in that leading us to a precious Christ. Lord, that is what the souls need here, whether they realize it or not. If there are those that are dead in trespasses and sins, Lord, bring them to life so that they may this day find rest for their souls. For Lord, we do not know how long our days will be upon this earth. We have been given that recent reminder in recent weeks of one connected to our chapels who has been taken from time to eternity in fitness, in strength, and in his teens. Lord, may it be indeed a question for us each, whether young or old, are we prepared to meet thee? Oh, may we cry with the hymn writer, "Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace." And we thank thee, Lord, that it is all of grace. For the devil will tempt us that it must be through this and that and the other that we do. And yet, Lord, lead us to fall humbly at the foot of the cross. Lead us to fall patiently at thy feet. Lead us indeed to understand that we are nothing, and that thou art our all and in all. Lord, may there have been prayer already this morning, and may it be answered. For Lord, we pray for this cause of truth, that we may see thy hand in their midst. Lord, we are living in a time where there are many who see no need to worship. We are living in a time, Lord, where many may go to a place of worship to be entertained. But we pray that the people that gather here may be those that seek to be edified through thy word and truly worship. Lord, we pray that there may be many that are brought in from this village to come and join with them. And we are thankful that there have been those that have been brought in recent times, and may there yet be many more. May this place be a light in a dark world. And may there truly be that power known and felt. Grant unto us each that grace to pray fervently for a true building up in our places of worship. Oh Lord, that is our need. Work in the towns, the villages, the cities of this nation, that many may come and truly gather together on thy day with that desire. Not to shop, not to be entertained, not to be at leisure and pleasure, but to be drawn near to thee. And yet, Lord, there may be some here this morning who are here, but really they are not. They are here because they have always been here. They are here because they have always attended, and yet they are so far off. If there be those resting upon anything other than thee, O Lord, break down those barriers. Crack up the hard heart and melt what may seem to us an unmeltable heart. So, Lord, may there be indeed in this place a building up, a strengthening, an encouragement. We pray that those that regularly preach here may truly be servants of the Lord, coming with the Lord's message, being that messenger to the people. And Lord, we would remember all ages here today. We would pray for the children, the young people, as they have this time off from education. Lord, we pray for them. Where there may be those that have had exam results, or there may be those that are entering different stages of their schooling or educational careers. Lord, we pray that they may each, in the days of their youth, seek for that guidance and wisdom. Where there are those that are pondering, Lord, what to do, where to go, how thou wilt work, Lord, we truly beg that there may be many here in their youth that seek their Creator. Lord, we would remember and pray for them as they grow up, that thou wouldest grant unto them those right partners for their life. That there may be those boyfriends and girlfriends given, those husbands and wives. Lord, those God-fearing couples that may come together. And Lord, those that have been married, those that are married in recent times. Lord, we pray for them as they begin the stages of family life. The many concerns that it brings, the many sorrows and indeed joys that it brings. Lord, may they indeed be prayerful, seeking to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, we pray for those in the middle of life, with in business, in employment, those mothers at home, whatever they may be in, Lord, we pray that they may not be so overwhelmed with trying to provide for this life that they forget to look at that which is to come. Lord, help each of us, whatever our age is, to seek first the kingdom of God. Lord, we would pray for those that are older here, those that may be listening in this morning, those that are unable to attend any longer, those that may be in care homes, the Bethesda homes, wherever they may be. Lord, we pray for them. And as they draw near the latter parts of their lives, and as many here may feel and know that their natural strength and faculties are declining, Lord, may they truly know that underneath are those everlasting arms. And Lord, help this church and congregation to truly bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, we would pray for all those that preach the word today, those that we know and love for the truth's sake, those who may still be on holiday, those who may be resting at this time. Lord, we pray for each one that preaches the word, that there may be that power and unction of the Holy Spirit. There may be those eyes open to the truth of the word, and that freedom, that zeal, that liberty to proclaim it to the people. We pray for this land and this nation. Lord, thou knowest that the needs in this land at this time, as we see thy hand upon this nation, Lord, may many see it. Raise up those in power and authority to truly be seeking to do that which is according to thy will. Lord, we would likewise pray for those in this congregation at this time who are sick and unwell. We pray for one of the deacons here unable to be here this morning. Lord, heal him, strengthen him, and likewise others that are in sickness at this time. Pray for one at the desk today. Help him with the choosing of the hymns, with the many responsibilities and burdens that lie upon him and them as deacons. O Lord, guide and direct them. Give them wisdom, give them grace. Not to be fearful of men, but to be fearful of God. And to ever seek to do that which is according to thy word and thy will. So Lord, as we come and have been favoured to gather together this morning, Lord, help us to do so with that understanding of who we are, sinners in thy sight. Help us to come rightly confessing who and what we are. Only then will we be coming rightly, humbled in the dust, marvelling at thy majesty and thy mercy, falling before, Lord, our Saviour. So Heavenly Father, may it be today that we may indeed know that we are thy children. Where there are those that feel so far off, Lord, thou canst draw near in a moment. Where there are those that are so questioning about where and who they are, Lord, come and shed abroad in their heart a precious Christ. Lord, may we remember Jesus is the one thing needful. I, without him, perish must. So, Lord, come indeed. Help us to thank thee indeed, truly, for what we have. As we see the fields being harvested, we are surrounded by so much providential mercy. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy still. So as we gather around thy word today, in the reading of it, in our prayer, in the singing of thy praises, and now as we come to the preaching of thy word, Lord, help us all. Lord, we may as well go home, unless thou wilt open the ears of the people and prepare their hearts to receive the spoken word. We pray, Lord, give us every word to speak. Help us to rightly, faithfully divide the word before the people and apply it with such power by thy Holy Spirit that none may go home untouched through our gathering together today. Draw us, Lord, we pray, away from the things and the pleasures of this world, to seek thy face. Remove all distracting thoughts, we beg, and come, Holy Spirit, come. Let thy bright beams arise and dispel the darkness from our minds and open all our eyes. O Lord, we need thee, and so do the people. Come and join with us today, we beg, and leave us not to be false worshippers. Help us to be true worshippers. Come, Lord, we beg. Forgive all that we have asked wrongly, and make up in giving where we fail in our asking. For we ask all in and through the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 858, 858. Backsliding souls, return to God. Your faithful God is gracious still. Leave the false ways ye long have trod, for God will your backslidings heal. Hymn 858.
Thank you.
May the Lord be pleased to help us each this morning, both in the hearing and the preaching of the word. I'll ask you to turn to the second psalm that we read, Psalm 88. Psalm 88 and verses 6 and 7. Psalm 88 and verses 6 and 7. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. In this psalm, in the heading above it in my Bible, it says this: a prayer containing a grievous complaint. A psalm of Heman the Ezrahite, whoever he may have been, who was indeed in a dark and difficult place. And there are those times in everybody's life where we may indeed feel to be in a great pit, in darkness, in the deeps, feel to be cut off from all hope. And this psalm is recorded for our instruction. We do not know what Heman the Ezrahite was in. We're not told for a reason. Likewise, we are not told what Paul's thorn in the flesh was for a reason, so that we can enter into it. This is one of the few psalms with, I was going to say no, but little expression of hope. And when we are, as it were, on the mountains, when we are full of praise, when we are full of thankfulness, it can be very hard to understand when others may be in the deeps for a prolonged period of time. But if we believe that God is over all, if we believe that God is working all things together for our good, then these deeps, these waves, these pits are here for a purpose. Now, if you've been in these deeps, in these pits, in these darknesses all your life, and know nothing of the goodness of the Lord, nothing of the freedom from conviction, from condemnation, from soul trouble, then you are in great danger. But Heman the Ezrahite knew something, which we will look at later on. But what does he say in this first verse? O Lord God of my salvation. Can you say that this morning if you are in one of these places? O Lord God of my salvation. You may cry and shout and fearless shutting out your prayer, but you can't stop coming, can you? You can't stop pleading at the throne of grace. You can't stop because you know there's nowhere else to turn to. So as the Lord may help us to look at this psalm, these verses, particularly this morning, to look at our circumstances firstly, providentially, that may cause us to feel like we are in these pits and dark places. Then to try and look at it in the viewpoint of our spiritual life. Those prior to conversion, when they may feel to be in real soul darkness. And then to look at those who have known the love of the Lord, who are now in that situation. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit. If the Lord had wanted to, the Bible could be full of those that knew nothing of difficulty. And yet, how many times have you found yourself coming in with a Joseph or a David or a Mary? Or Lydia, the woman of Samaria, a Peter, a Paul. How many times have you found yourself and your situation lining up with one of these characters in the Word of God? Maybe there's one here today. Looks at this verse 6 and says, "That's me. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit." We could think of Joseph, couldn't we? Being sold as that slave. Captured by those that should love him. Captured by his nearest and dearest. Abandoned by those who should have been at his side. They took him and cast him into a pit. It hurts, doesn't it? When those that should love us don't. When those that should be for us are against us. But what does it prove to us? If the Lord be for us, who can be against us? Your family, your friends, your nearest and dearest may, for whatever reason, and maybe not intentionally, led you into a pit. But Joseph was delivered because God's eye was upon him. It's the same with Jeremiah, wasn't it? Thrown into that deep pit. Thrown into that place that he could not get out of. They took Jeremiah, they cast him into the dungeon of Malachi, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison. They let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Are your feet being sucked into that mire today? You can't get yourself out, can you? You can't do it. What do you need? The Lord to appear. The pit where we can't get ourselves out of it. And that's the problem with us, isn't it? We want to do everything, naturally speaking. We are. and we like to be self-sufficient, independent creatures. We do not like to depend and rely upon anybody else. But the Lord puts us in those pits so that we have to learn how small and insignificant we are in this life. You in this congregation are one of, I don't know, 50, 60 here this morning. We are in this village of maybe a few thousand people. In a county of however many hundreds of thousands. In a country of how many millions. In a world of how many billions. Do you see how small you are? But we're proud, aren't we? And the Lord puts us in these pits to teach us. He's in control. He can deliver. He can work. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit. The psalmist here knew who had laid him there. Do you know that? Because it takes a bit of teaching to know that. Firstly, you'll blame someone. Blame your upbringing, blame your situation, blame whatever it may be. Then the time may well come when you will say, Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit. But it's in darkness. Is it in darkness too today for you? Seems to be no chink of light, no hope. We need the Lord. We need to plead those promises, don't we? They're still there. Are you ever thankful that you can look to the Word of God, and although you may not feel and know the warmth and love that you did know, though you may not feel the light at this time, the promises of God's Word don't change. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. There's a promise for you this morning. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. In Bible times, we often forget that they did not have the means of transportation we had, the safety that we had. There'd have been many lives that would have been lost on the sea. They had no weather forecast to know there was a storm blowing up in a couple of weeks' time, or there was a front coming in from somewhere which would cause great danger to a ship. They would have gone out. And suddenly, the wind, the waves, the deeps come up. It's like that with Jonah, wasn't it? And maybe you feel to be like that this morning. Set off on a course that you thought was the right way. Set off on a route which seemed right to yourself. But now it doesn't. Now it doesn't. Now the waters are breaking in over the ship. Now you fear for your life. And you think there's no hope. But what did Jonah have to say and have to prove? Out of the depths, he cried, didn't he? Out of the depths. Sometimes those depths must come to make the hard-hearted one cry. So, as we have touched briefly, I did not want to dwell too long on outward circumstances. And to try and move this on to the work of conviction. The work of Almighty God showing unto us who we are. Spiritually, thou hast laid me in the lowest pit. And prior to the work of conversion, when the Lord, by his Spirit, begins to convict the soul, there will be five things which are known in that life. There will be a understanding, firstly, and in no particular order, of your sinfulness. That's why we read that Psalm 51. My sin is ever before me. The conviction of our God will lead us to understand that we have sinned. Secondly, there will also be that guilt that comes along with that sinfulness. That understanding that we are sinners. We are guilty sinners. We are guilty. But thirdly, there will often be that felt ignorance of the way of salvation. Felt ignorance of what we know about the mercy and love of the Lord. What we know about what the Bible has to teach. We'll have that realization how small, how ignorant, how insignificant we are. And fourthly, there will also be that realization and that emotion of misery. And this is where so much modern religion cuts out the convicting work of the Spirit. Cuts out the work of sinfulness, guilt, ignorance, misery, and so on. Because it's not a selling point, is it? It's not a business plan, is it, to tell everybody how miserable they are? But do you know? What it is to be delivered out of misery. Sweet, isn't it? We cannot appreciate the great things until we have known the sad things. There'll be misery, and lastly, there will also be that felt sense of our helplessness. A helpless sinner, a miserable sinner, an ignorant sinner, a guilty sinner. That'll make us cry. That'll make us understand thou hast laid me in the lowest pit. In darkness, in the deeps. David was a converted man when he penned Psalm 51, but he still knew it. He still knew that darkness, that he was justly condemned. My sin is ever before me. He knew that misery, for he cried in that 8th verse, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. That's how David felt. Those of you that may have broken bones in a a serious way, and we have great help now, don't we, if we do break a bone, and it would not have caused the pain that it would have done in Bible times. But if we've broken a bone, maybe a bone which the doctors cannot strap up, maybe there are those that have broken their ribs, can't do anything about it, just got to wait for it to heal. Every time you laugh, every time you roll over, every time you cough, you feel it jabbing in your side. That's what David knew. The bones that the Lord had broken. Continual reminders of who he was. Convicted of sin. It comes in with that hymn, 761. My lips with shame my sins confess, against thy law, against thy grace. Lord, should thy judgments grow severe, I am condemned, but thou art clear. Should sudden vengeance seize my breath, I must pronounce thee just in death. And if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. That realization. We've sinned against the holy God. Against his law, against his grace. And that broken bone keeps on digging in. Causing us again to feel to be in the depths. And dear friends, if you feel to be in your darkest place this morning, do not fear. Do not fear. If you feel to be out of hope, do not fear. For it is often in those darkest hours that the Lord will come. It is often in those real depths that we are led to, that the Lord will deliver. My thoughts go, if I can see it, of the case with that the lunatic that was healed. And we read there, don't we? Jesus answering said, O faithless, perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. It was that line in verse 42 of Luke 9. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down. Is that where you are? The devil thrown you down? Is it because you're being drawn to the Lord? As you were yet a coming, the devil throws you down, tears at you, puts you in the deep pit, thinks you've got no hope. But then what did Jesus do? Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. He healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Coming. Coming nearer. The devil wants the glory. The devil wants you. He doesn't want you to come to Christ. So press on, dear soul. Pray on and plead on like Heman the Ezraite, for he surely will appear. But as I said at the start of this sermon, there are those who have known the Lord, who have known his sweetness, his love, his mercy, his care, who are then, maybe soon after they have known the Lord, maybe many decades later, are brought into that point where they no longer know the sweetness they did know. And they doubt this and they doubt the other. They feel to be in darkness. And we sung together, didn't we, that first hymn this morning. Is that where you are, Jesus? My soul's athirst for thee. Absent from thee, I cannot rest. Come now, reveal thyself to me. I cannot leave thy throne unblessed. Oh, whither shall thy prisoner flee? Thy captive hastens to be loosed, and would repose his trust in thee, though oft by sin and sorrow tossed. It's here, isn't it? This is the hope. Jesus is still the sinner's friend, although the billows roll between, and since his love is to the end, ere long he'll change this gloomy scene. And if you are wrestling this morning with sins and doubts and fears, as the other hymn comes to my mind, the Canaanite is still in the land, and we have to prove it, don't we? To harass, perplex and dismay, brought Israel of old at a stand, for Anak was stronger than they. What God had designed they possessed, supported and kept by his hand, yet lest on their lees they should rest, the Canaanites dwelt in the land. So what does that mean to us spiritually? The Canaanite being still in the land, it means this. Yes, the Lord may have delivered us. The Lord may have revealed unto us a precious Saviour. We may have faith in the precious shed blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. Yet we still sin. Yet we still mourn over that sin. It's where the Apostle Paul was. And that is why the Apostle Paul wrote in that way to Timothy, didn't he? He wrote saying that he must fight. He must battle. He must war on. Fight the good fight of faith. Didn't say walk the good fight of faith. Sit back and enjoy faith. Says fight the good fight of faith. The same when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, wasn't it? About putting on the whole armour of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But let us look, shall we, at the armour of God. Because oftentimes I forget to put it on. And then wonder why I'm losing. Wonder why I'm bleeding. Wonder why I'm laid down. Wonder why I'm in the deep pit. Because I've forsaken the armour. Forsaken the armour. What do we need? Have our loins girt about with truth. That's what we need, dear friends. The truth of the word of God. Not to listen to the whisperings of the devil. Turn and plead those promises again that the Lord gave you. Have you got a sweet word which was so precious to you? You say, oh, it's not precious to me anymore. Turn to that verse. Look at it again. Is it still there in the word of God? Yes, it is, isn't it? So what's changed? Your feelings. The word of God hasn't changed. Your God hasn't changed. Dear friend, have your loins girt about with truth, with that which is verity, with that which is unchanging. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith. Is that what you've lost? Your shield of faith. Because you know, that's sometimes what I feel I've lost. Because what am I trying to hold up against the devil? The shield of sight. And not the shield of faith. But how are we to walk? By faith. And not by sight. By trusting him for his grace, knowing that behind that frowning providence, he does hide a smiling face. So are you knowing the fiery darts of the wicked one this morning? Have a look. What is it you're holding up? What is it you're raising against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world? Is it your tiny, insignificant shield of sight? But as it comes to me in this way, if we have a shield before us, sometimes we need to be brought low to shelter behind that shield. If we get on our knees and pull that shield up over us, then we are protected. If we try and stand strong, then there's much of us that's exposed. So, dear soul, if you are in the pit, if you are feeling far off this morning, read Ephesians 6. Plead that you may again put on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that we may draw strength and battle on. But as I mentioned, that word that Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, didn't he, fight the good fight of faith. But he also said this, didn't he, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold of it. Cling to it. Look to it. As I often say, the devil cannot rob us of our salvation. That is sealed, that is settled. Those that are justified by faith will always be justified by faith. The payment has been made. He cannot rob us of our salvation, but he can rob us of the joy of it. And that's what he tries to do continually to the believer. To take away their hope, to take away their confidence, to take away their faith. That's where we need to get to the Word of God again. That's where we need the Word of God to be applied with power to our hearts so that we can again lay hold. Hymn 993 expresses it well, doesn't it? O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can comfort, whom no man can save. With darkness surrounded, by terrors dismayed, in toiling and rowing thy strength is decayed. Does it say in verse 3, O fearful, O faithless, in mercy he cries, my promise, my truth, are they light in thy eyes this morning? Still I am with thee. My promise shall stand through tempest and tossing. I'll bring thee to land. Because if he doesn't, he is no God at all. Forget thee, I will not, I cannot. Thy name engraved on my heart does forever remain. The palms of my hands, while I look on, I see the wounds I received when suffering for thee. Dear soul, this morning, if he suffered for thee, he cannot forget you. I feel at my heart all thy sighs and thy groans, for thou art most near me, my flesh and my bones. In all thy distresses, thy head feels the pain, yet all are most needful, not one is in vain. Then trust me and fear not, thy life is secure, my wisdom is perfect, supreme is my power. In love I correct thee, thy soul to refine, to make thee at length in my likeness to shine. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me. If you are one of the Lord's people here this morning, you may think the Lord's wrath is upon you, but it's not. Because the righteous wrath of God has been placed upon his dear Son. The Lord God, as we have in verse 1 of this psalm, of my salvation. That's the point we will focus on as we close this morning. Whatever you may be in, however low the Lord may bring you, wherever he may take you in this life, whatever depths you may be brought, there's the Lord God to cry to. There's one that can save. The vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need. And is that you? You've been brought to feel your need of him. Is welcome to the throne of grace. The Saviour's blood to plead. You may be in a providential pit and depth. But that's nothing, dear soul, compared to the pit of eternity in hell. And yes, when trials and troubles come upon us, they can bring us very low. But there's something we all need to come to. Do we know the Lord God of my salvation? If you this morning have only ever known answers to prayer in providential matters, we're on a sandy foundation. If we have only ever known the Lord opening this door, we may say, and shutting this door, and know nothing of a heart that is drawn and filled with love to the Lord because of what he has done through Jesus Christ his Son, we're in danger. I have to give this warning because I fear there are many who find great comfort in just providential matters resolved. We need our souls saved. We need our sins forgiven, or else we will be as those ones in that final day who cry to have those rocks to cover them. Those that say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? None will be able to stand in that day. None will be able to stand unless we know the Lord God of our salvation. So as we come to a close now, are you in the pit, the darkness, the deep of soul trouble? You're in danger if you've never known it. And I will just clarify this. It will be in measure for every one of the Lord's people. Some are brought into great dark soul trouble. Some are brought into real conviction. Some are brought into great pains over who they are before God. Others are not. Others are drawn more so by the gracious love of our God. But all will be brought to realise, I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All will be brought to understand that they do not deserve his mercy. They do not deserve his love. They do not deserve anything. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. Yet there is hope. Yet there is a God to pray to. Yet there is a way that has been made through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So cry on this all, and may he break through, deliver from the pit, shine the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Lift you from the valley and put you on the mountaintop so that you can say what the Lord has done for you. May the Lord be with us all and keep us in that narrow way which leads to life eternal. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Cottingham will preach again at 6:30 this evening. And tomorrow we hold special services where Mr. Timothy Pocock is expected to preach at 3:00 and 6:15. Tea will be provided and collections taken for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Fred Ince is expected to preach and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Mr. Stephen Bousfield has asked us to announce that the St. Ives service this week has been changed from Tuesday to Thursday because of the wedding on Wednesday. Our closing hymn is number 711. 711. Amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ, my hiding place. Hymn 711.
Oh dear Lord, we thank thee for thy word and those portions that are recorded for us. And those that may be in a dark place this morning. Lord Jesus, shine, and then we can find sweetness in salvation's plan. Shine through thy word, we beg, so that today we may go on in our way rejoicing, not in the darkness that we are in, but in the light that there is, through that one who is the light of the world. So forgive all that we have spoken wrongly this morning, but that which has been of thee, truly own and bless, be with us through the remainder of the day, and those that may gather again this evening, Lord, we pray, that will be with us all. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us each. Amen.